Well, today we start a short sermon series on 2 Peter, having completed Peter's first letter last week. And as we go through it, you might get a sense of deja vu, as we seem to be covering some of the same themes and ideas as 1 Peter. You might be wondering why Peter and other New Testament writers often seem to repeat themselves, and I think there was a deliberate plan in Peter's decision to repeat some of the things that he's previously covered, and I'd like to explain why I think that. Many years ago now, when I was serving in the sorry, you're getting another army talk. Is that all right? Shut up. When I was serving in the British Army, I was a newly promoted sergeant, and I was posted as an instructor at the School of Military Survey. I just finished an advanced survey photographic technician course, and with some modesty, I don't have a lot of it because I learnt humility from John Geldart, I have to say I topped the course, and because of that I was selected to become an instructor. But before I could start the job, I had to go on another course at the Army Methods of Instruction Centre, a place called AMIC. I knew all the information that I needed to teach our students, but the Army needed to know that I could communicate that information, get stuff across to other soldiers. I might say that the AMIC course was the best of all the courses I did during my 37-year service, and that's because the instructors on that course were selected from those who had previously excelled on that self-same course. So what we had there was the best of the best. During the course, we were taught various techniques for conducting both practical and theoretical lessons, having to give demonstration lessons as a part of the assessment. It was only a 2-week course, but I can tell you it was absolutely full on. We never stopped. One of the instructors there was a grizzled and elderly warrant officer. I know he was elderly, because it was his last tour of duty before compulsory retirement at the age of 55. Now, that makes me feel really old. Anyway, during one of the lessons to us, he spoke about repetition as a technique for ensuring that information was really getting through to the students. And his mantra was very simple. He said, for a practical teaching period, tell them exactly what you're going to do, show them exactly how to do it, and then do it with them. And that's still a sound technique for teaching complex procedures. For theory lessons, it was very similar. He said, tell them what you're going to teach them what they need to know, and then tell them again. You can see the idea. Keep repeating the important part of any lesson until the people listening really grasp it. I have a sneaking suspicion that Peter, the writer of our letter today, might have done a similar course, though I suspect that his instructor was far more qualified than Warrant Officer Don Parkinson. Ask me how I can remember that name from 50 years ago. Peter was a student of the greatest teacher of all, so he had all the techniques absolutely off pat. Peter, and Paul as well, had the habit of repeating themselves time and time again as they try to ensure that Christians are absolutely sure of where they stand and what they stand for. I sometimes wonder if those in the pews in front of me wonder why we seem to be going over the same sort of stuff time and time again. And it's because the Bible does that, at least with regards to what Jesus has done for us. We can see why Peter focuses on repetition, and he tells us in the last part of our reading today. He writes, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. So what are the things that Peter is trying to make sure his readers latch onto and then hang onto in our reading today? Well, firstly, Peter wants to remind his readers what they are and whose they are. he addresses them as those through the righteousness of God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. He is, in fact, addressing his letter to all those who have received the one and precious faith, and that includes each one of us here today. I say that hoping you have accepted that faith, hoping that you have taken it to heart, that you are firmly convinced that you are one of God's people. It's the only faith that can save. If you don't have that faith, then perhaps you ought to speak to one of the clergy here today. But then Peter reminds us that we have received everything that we need for life and godliness through him, and he's speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us and equipped us to actually participate in Christ's divine nature, and by so doing escape the corruption that surrounds us in the world. I don't know about you, but this world we live in seems to be becoming increasingly corrupt. Even the stuff we see on television is enough to corrupt people's minds. Have you ever watched Home and Away, for example? I don't, but I've seen snippets of it. I wouldn't want my children watching that filth. And yet we are called to participate in the divine nature of Christ himself. We are to become like Christ in this polluted world, the world in which we live. It's a process the church calls sanctification, growing into the likeness of Christ. Is there anybody feeling a bit challenged by such a proposition? Well, fear not, because Peter also tells us how to achieve that. Listen to what he says. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Do it. Is that challenging to you? I'm sure it is. But let's be honest about it. We are equipped for it. We are equipped by the power of God's Holy Spirit to live as Christ in the world. That's our goal. That's our aim. You'll have heard all this stuff before, I know. It's very similar to what Peter wrote about in the Christian life in his first letter, and similar to what Paul said time and time again in his letters. Make no mistake about it, every New Testament letter, as well as the Gospels, emphasize that we have to live out this faith we claim. We are, as 1 Peter makes plain, aliens in the world, and we are set apart to be the people of God. We are the people of God, but now we've got to live as a people of God. Live as a people of God in a world which is going to hell in a basket. And then, having lived out our faith, we receive the promise. If you do all these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And if we read further on in this letter, we'll find that Peter expands on these points. He builds on them, repeating again and again the issues that is raised in this introduction to his letter. And make no mistake, this is just the introduction, a long introduction, but an introduction to this short letter. It actually fulfills another of the techniques that I learnt when I was on the AMIC course many years ago. We were taught then that the introduction to a lesson should contain three things. The first is that the aim of the lesson should be spelled out. Secondly, the reason for the teaching should be covered. And lastly, that some incentive should be given, an incentive for accepting and absorbing and taking on what's being taught. Aim, reason why, and incentive. They do the same in the Australian Army? Pretty close. Stuff I can remember from 50 years ago, and I can't remember what I had for tea last night. So how does Peter cover these three things in his introduction? Well, firstly, The aim is to encourage Christians to live out their faith, teaching that's common to all of the New Testament letters. He speaks of adding to our faith by goodness and knowledge and self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness and love. That's the aim of his teaching. The aim of our lives as we are trying to grow into this likeness of Christ in the world. The reason why? Because God has given us faith through righteousness, the righteousness of God's only beloved Son. And it tells us that we are to be effective and productive as we participate in the divine nature of Christ himself and receive deliverance from the corruption of the world in which we live. We're to be effective and productive because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. The incentive, the last of the three things, a rich and saving welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You know where you're going, don't you? You know where you're going. Hang on to that. Does it sound as though I'm repeating myself? Well, good, it's a godly principle, one that even the British Army picked up on. Like Peter, I and the other clergy of this parish will continue to remind you of what God has done for you in Christ, where you now stand as the people of God, but also what your responsibilities are as you now seek to live as a people of God. You can't do that unless you have the faith that I spoke about earlier. You can't do that unless you know in the very depths of your soul that because Jesus died for you, you are saved, that your life now and your life eternal are bound up in him. You can't do that unless you trust in this Jesus who came and died so that you might live and be freed from the pollution of this world. Is this a lesson worth repeating? Of course it is. I can remember an old ditty. I'll try and sing it to you. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. That was a bit high for me. It's a story worth repeating, isn't it? In many ways and by many, many people. It's a story we have to keep on telling. It's an old, old story, but it has the power to save. So I, for one, as Peter writes, will always remind you of these things, even though you know them, and are now firmly established in the truth you already have. You need to hear it again and again. You need to live it in the world in which we live. You need to know where you're going when you fall off the perch. I've said it so many times. And you can do that when you trust in this Jesus. We need to hear these things. We need to know these things. And we need to live out our faith for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of God our Father. And if that's not something worth repeating, I don't know what is. So we'll keep telling the story. We'll keep living the life. We'll keep living as an example of Christ in the world, because people will only see him when they see him through us. Am I right? Oh, thank God for that. Please, people, remember whose you are. Remember who you stand for. Remember who you are to example in this world in which we live. Remember that God loves you. Jesus died for you. And you are members of the kingdom, children of the living God. Remember and keep telling the story. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, who came amongst us, who suffered and died for each one of us, and through that suffering and death has given us the gracious gift of life eternal. We thank you for Peter, who kept telling the story. We pray that we may continue to do so. as we try to live as Christ in the world. And we ask it in his name.